Raised Rowdy.
All right, guys. Well, welcome to the Raised Rowdy podcast. I'm Nikki T.
I'm Kurt Ozon.
And welcome our special guest, Mr. Colby Cooper.
Hello.
Welcome back, brother.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be back.
Yeah, we are very excited to have you back, too. We are here in a studio now as opposed to in the extra bedroom at Kurt's house.
Yeah, huge ups to the boys.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's
awesome. Video and everything. Look at this. Like, we're like 98% legit, which is great.
Dude, that's all you need.
Yeah.
All you need is like 90, I think. So you're overkill.
Heck yeah. We got it.
So how's your life been in the last 4 years?
Man, it's been good. Dude, time flies. That's why I didn't realize it'd been that long. But you know, it's been great, man. We've been touring, been writing songs and raising babies and doing all that in a cycle, you know, repeat, repeat, repeat.
Yeah, dude. All the good things in life.
Yeah, absolutely, man.
What you were put on this earth to do.
Amen, brother.
Yeah, man.
Amen, man.
Yeah, it's been, gosh, I guess a few years.
21.
Wow.
That's what he told me when I walked in. I was like, what? What the fuck?
It's crazy.
Are you sure, man?
I don't even feel like I've been in Nashville that long.
Dude, I mean, that's what I was telling somebody yesterday, how long I've been coming up here, and I just turned 26 back in May, and I've been doing this since I was like 18.
Yeah. Isn't that
and
crazy?
I was sitting there like counting on my hand. It's like, damn, I've been coming here for like 6 years at this point. I was like, I don't feel like I've been.
When's your birthday?
May 31st.
Gotcha.
Of 99.
Yeah.
Three kids.
90s baby.
Two records.
Three.
Well, yeah.
two label records. Yeah.
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 Okay.
It's wild, dude. I didn't feel like that's like
as a 26 year old. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I like to get a head start on things, man. I was 18.
You're gonna retire when you're 30.
Maybe.
Yeah. Dude, yeah. Things will go very well in the next 4 years if I retire, or very wrong.
Yeah. True.
One or the other. But no, I. Yeah, man. I like to get a head start on things. You know, had the baby when we got pregnant, 18. I recorded my first song like the month we found out we were pregnant, released it the month after. So I was just like, yeah, let's do all this stuff, man. And I was in school and stuff. So I was like,
it's so crazy.
Just juggling everything.
Some things never change, huh?
No, they really don't. They really don't. No, I,
thank God,
you know, it's cool, man. I get to juggle my family and being on the road and, you know, fishing and playing video games. Like,
hey, that's
fun,
the
things.
Good stuff.
Yeah, absolutely, man.
When we last talked, I probably didn't play any video games that weren't on my phone, and now I play Fortnite extensively.
Let's go. Yeah. I love Fortnite. Big Fortnite guy, you know. Every once in a while, like, I go through phases where, like, I don't play it for, like, 6 months, and then I play it for 6 months straight.
Yeah.
And it's me and the boys get in there. I did you get the Hank Hill skin?
Oh, yeah.
Dude. I am like the biggest King of the Hill fan.
Yeah.
And we were on the road when this happened, and our Wi-Fi went out in like this 2 week period that we were on the road. And I was just like, I was constantly trying to get on with my phone. I ran out of data, so I'm waiting for that to come back. I don't have any way to get on and get the skin. And I get home, and as soon as I get home, like, I say hey to everybody, I run in my office. I'm like, I gotta download this skin. I think it's about to go off. Get on there, it's gone, and it hadn't been back. So I haven't played Fortnite since then.
It's back now.
Is it really?
You got to get on your phone right now.
Okay. Well, give back. Me 5 minutes.
All right, guys. Thanks for coming in, bud.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I'll see you later.
Yeah.
I'm about to cancel everything today.
I just bought that one. That was my most recent skin before this week. I just bought Beavis and Butthead.
Oh, okay. See, I didn't know they had those back, you know?
Bro.
I got to get back on or I'm going to miss it.
Can you TP your Cornholio and all that?
Brother, yes. If you are Beavis, you can. One of your emotes puts the shirt up over your head. And then every time you kill someone, it gives you the little Beavis or Butthead stim. Like, it's like, yeah.
Like, every time you kill,
I swear to God.
Dude, you're good at that.
I know, I'm pretty good.
You got to get kills to get that, though. I don't get to experience that.
I'm not that good. Luckily, my friends that I play with are significantly better than me, so they just carry Unk around on their back, you know?
Dude, Unk. Someone called me Unk recently, and I was like.
You're Unk age, bro.
Oh,
it's,
man.
We're here. It happens.
We made it.
That's what I was telling. So I'm starting to finally like feel. I mean, I know I'm not old, but like,
right.
I've been doing this for like 7 years or so at this point, and I had somebody come up to me and they're like, "Dude, I was in high school and I remember watching you, and you made me want to like make music." I was like, "What? What do you mean? How old are you?" He's like, "I'm 20." I was like, "Oh God, no, I'm getting old."
Honorary,
yeah, dude. Well, I'm getting there.
You know? We had a podcast guest come in. He was like, yeah, the first time I saw, you know, Luke on stage, you were there, and it made me want to be an artist. And now he's got a record deal and is like touring with Hardy. I'm like, damn, I'm old now.
Yeah, bro, that's wild, man. It happens fast, they say, and I'm feeling that my kiddos are growing up really fast, and time is just flying by, man.
How old are the kids now?
They're 7, 4, and 3, or yeah, 2.5.
Well, crazy,
close enough. But it's, dude, I can't believe it. It's like the fact that I have a 7-year-old is, I don't know, man. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. It feels wrong, man. I see like pictures of her as a baby, and it's just like I broke my laptop the other day on accident. Not like in an angry way or anything. Literally, I was getting dressed for the show, and I was watching YouTube, and I sat down on my bed, and I'm like putting my boots on, and the laptop was leaned back because I was standing up watching it. So like I just, my lazy ass leans up and grabs it, and you know, grabs the side of the screen and kind of tilts it. And when I grabbed it and tilted, it went and cracked across the middle, and I was just like, and just, I was devastated.
Too strong, bro.
Yeah, you got that dad strength,
way
bro.
Too strong, man. You know, I swear I barely even grabbed it, and it just shattered across the middle of the bottom, and I just did. And but I'm using my wife's laptop now, and her screensavers are our oldest daughter. It's just like her old laptop, and I open it. It's this picture from when she's like 1, and I was just like, oh, God, no. Yeah, I get
emotional.
Dude, imagine teary. If your dad was Colby Cooper.
Dude, it's, you know.
Your dad's a rock star or what?
That has to be weird. Like, your 7-year-old has to know.
Yeah, she's definitely like, you know, she's kind of understands now. And I think even our second oldest girl is kind of like starting to pick it up. Mm-hmm. But yeah, my oldest, she's been to plenty of shows, and she's been up on stage and sang with me. So is our second, our two girls both sing every show they come to. They love getting up there, and dude, it's the fucking best. It is seriously like the coolest thing I've ever get to do. It's just like these songs that I wrote, my kids are up there just like singing them, is just word for word. It's the, I don't know, it's just like the most beautiful thing for me. I love it, man. It's it's really cool. But Josie definitely, you know, understands, like, over the years, she was like, why are all these people wanting to come and take pictures with dad and stuff? And, you know, it's like, oh, you'll figure it out. And now she knows. She's like, oh, so they listen to your music? I'm like, yeah. They, you know, they like my music, whatever. And it's just, it's cool, man. It's so always cute. Cool, dude.
I know Luke's been talking about it recently, kind of like, because his kids don't really know yet.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't, like, bring them on the bus or, you know, fly them around or anything. And, it's kind of like once they go to school, you know, because his kids are really young,
yeah,
and they're gonna know because it's like their dad's gonna be picking them up, and you know, it's just gonna happen. Yeah. So it's like,
yeah,
right now,
that is Luke Combs.
Yeah,
it's a little different than Colby Cooper being your dad. Yeah, well, it's like we get the random hit, and it's, yeah, I can go out in public, which is tight.
Yeah, but it's like how and when to sort of like maybe have that conversation is kind of an interesting topic.
Oh yeah, like. It really is. And I think for us, it was just like, dude, we had our first baby like July 30th of 2018. And like me and my official start date for this career or whatever bullshit you want to say is July 20th of 2018. Like literally 10 days before we had my first baby, we had our first weekend of two shows, and that was our first weekend that started the consecutive, like every weekend we had at least one or two shows.
Yeah.
And so at that, it was just weird, man. I'm like, holy shit, I'm starting this career. It's awesome. Then it was 10 days later. I'm like, oh my God, I'm officially starting my family. This is awesome. And it was just like this weird, like, oh my God, what do I do? Like, you know, it's, I don't know. I was so young, man. It was kind of hard not to, not to bring her around and not to, her not just to be a part of it in some kind of way, yeah. You know.
Everyone does it differently. Your life is so much different than Luke's, and there's so many different, apples and oranges.
My life is different than most people. People don't, you know, and like, not in like a, it just didn't like a, you know, me and my wife, like we didn't care if we got pregnant, honestly. Mm-hmm. Like, I've been madly in love with my wife since we were in fourth grade, and like, I knew when we started dating as seniors, it's like, I'm going to marry this girl unless she breaks up with me. So I was like, I'm cool with like,
too late now.
Oh, yeah. Dude, that's, I mean, we got out of high school and I was like, nice.
Yeah.
Like, she was like, I'm pregnant. I was like, oh no.
Yes.
Fuck yeah.
You know? Lock her in.
Yeah, yeah, dude. You know, now we got three kiddos, man. It's a,
that's so crazy.
It's a full house, bro. It's a, it's wild.
What a light, bro. You're a light. That's great.
Oh yeah. Dude,
you got great energy.
I appreciate it, man. Mm-hmm. I try, man. I just try to have a good time, you know.
And it's so cool too. I mean, even from the time we talked to you first to now, just the vibrancy of what you have been doing, and like the Texas scene has grown so much. Yeah. And like the rock leaning scene has kind of like had such a resurgence as yeah. well.
Dude, it's so wild. It's so much has changed in the music business in the past 5 years. Like, I mean, obviously the whole TikTok thing is like taken over. Mm-hmm. Like when I started, it was only 7 years ago. Like that wasn't a thing. Like social media was a thing, but it wasn't like
nothing.
The end all be all. Mm-hmm. It was like, here's you a tool that can help. And then there's all these other routes that can also help. And now it's like, here's your only option. Bam.
Yeah.
You know, like it's such a weird thing. Like, and I've, you know, all my friends that I've started with, like we have conversations about it and we talk about it the same way. It's like, yeah, it's like weird. It's like you go from like not really having to worry about it to like, hey, this is the main way that you can drive your career and you have to be good at it.
Yeah.
And it's like, I grew up in the social media boom or whatever, you know, through like middle school and stuff is when everybody was getting iPhones and it was after Facebook, like Instagram was coming around and all this stuff. And it was like, oh, cool. And I've never been like a big social media guy. I've always been like, cool, I'll post a picture and like not, you know, not think about it. Now it's like, all right, think about it all the time.
Yeah.
You know, but.
Well, it's like, it's strategy. Before, you had to get out on the road and get in front of fans. Yeah. To build fans,
yeah.
Right? So it was slow.
Yeah.
And if you got on a bigger tour, it went faster.
Yeah.
You know, now it's like you can have a moment at any time where it pops.
1,000%, dude. It's wild. And I, like when we were starting, it was like the whole goal for us in Texas was like, all right, you got to put a song out and it's got to do well enough on its own to get picked up on the Texas music playlist on Spotify mm-hmm. or whatever. And that was seriously like when we started was a massive like driver. Like we would put a song out and it got picked up and it was like, you know, the shows went from being like, I mean, the first show he played was that one July 20th and it was like, it was like local, like probably 30, 40 minutes from where we're from. And it was like, I think 170 people or so and the cap was like 180 and we were like, oh my God, dude, we sold out this, you know, this our first show or whatever. And it was, you could obviously see the lift from the playlist at that time and stuff. And then it's just, you know, since then everything's just kind of slowly shifted and shifted and shifted to where it's like, it's all about the viral moment, you know?
Yeah. It's crazy.
It really is, dude. But I mean, you know, for me, it's really all about the shows and stuff. And like, I don't know, connecting with fans every night is still by far my favorite thing to do, you know?
Well, and that's really the ones that stay. Virility will come and it'll go.
Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely.
But if you build fans from putting on a kick-ass show in front of them,
yeah,
those are fans that are going to come back every time that you're in town.
I agree, and that's like that's what we tell the dudes. We talk about it all the time. It's like, dude, it, you know, it doesn't matter if there's 100 people or if there's 1,000 people out there. Go out there and fucking have fun, man. Like, mm-hmm. because at the end of the day, like, even if there's like one person, man, that one guy paid from his whatever the fuck he does, he spent his money to be there, and he came and he's going to probably buy a beer and he's probably going to buy a t-shirt and he's going to sit there and sing the songs, you know. So I feel like you want to make it worth it for him, you know what yeah. I mean? Like, just like that. Cause then maybe next time he brings one more friend, it's like, cool. And maybe next time they bring two more and, you know, so on.
But yes.
That's the thought.
Man, that's exactly how it works though.
Yeah.
I mean, and speaking of that, like the songs, like let's talk about the new record.
Yeah, man. Absolutely.
So you dropped a new project in April, your third record, second label record.
Yeah.
So me and Kurt were kind of like listening to it, of course, and then going over like writer's credits and stuff. And we see a lot of the folks that we love.
Yeah, man. That's all my boys.
Rock writers and like are really like kind of tuning that thing in. Why don't we talk a little bit about who you worked with on the record for production and stuff too?
Yeah, absolutely. So Andrew Bayless produced it and Michael Whitworth came in and he did some like vocal production stuff. And, mm-hmm. you know, he always helps me whip it into shape whenever we're in there trying to track him. I'll do something. He's like, how about just, nah. Oh, yeah, cool, man. You're so great at this. those are two of my favorites. Remember, there's so many collaborators on the record that are great. Man, so many writers in town. And like I was saying, I've been here at this point long enough to where I feel like I've, you know, really started finding, like, this group of guys that I love creating with and that I feel like really get what I wanted to do with this record. And they're all just great dudes, man. They're all just, like, even if they weren't writers, I would, you know, they'd be friends of mine just because they're they're my kind of people, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. It's cool. Getting to make this record was, it, like I said, it was a very like stressful process, and like just the thought of it being like, oh God, like, you know, it's just a stressful business in general. And I wanted to make this as good as it could be. And I wanted to make like what I felt like was my best record. And it took, you know, 2.5 years of writing and piling these songs up to really like, you know, pick what we picked from. And we had probably 40 songs or so to pick from, and it was like pulling teeth because there were songs I was like, no, this one fucking has to make the record. It's like great. And I was like, well, maybe this one should instead, actually. It was like, oh shit. And it was literally like, you know, up until like it was a very last minute, like a few songs were like, ah, oh, should we record this one or this one? Like right up until it was like the day before we go in, and it was like, okay, we're gonna do this one. Locked it in. But it was all that, it was just, oh, it was
did it, you was guys hilarious. Cut like a bunch of songs and then whittle it down, or did you cut exactly that amount?
We cut exactly that amount, because yeah. we had kind of we'd released like, I think released 5 singles before the record came out or so, and we cut a few, like I think we cut like 6 first, so we had a couple already cut. We cut in like 2 or 3 different spots where we just like would cut for one day and do like 4 or 5 songs or so, until we like, you know, had the whole, I guess the whole record really like confidently planned out. But it was a fun process, man. But it's, you know, just like always on to the next one. Now it's time to make more. Yeah. Time for the next record. Time for the, you know, the next song, man.
Because I know like some artists will cut 30 songs, yeah, and then only put out 14, yeah, or whatever, which is obviously, that costs more money.
Oh yeah, for sure. It definitely costs more money. And but the thing is, dude, I feel like if you go and cut 30 songs, and if you feel like they're good enough, I mean, fuck, you have 2 records worth of music. Mm-hmm, or yeah. I mean, you know, nowadays, so 1 record for some.
Yeah, Zach Bryan.
Wall,
dude. Yeah, yeah. Wall, yeah. Dude, or an extended record. Or,
yeah, totally. Yeah.
If a movie comes by and they're like, hey, we need a song, and you're like, these are already done.
Yeah, absolutely, dude. Absolutely. But I mean, I think that's also, though, yeah, if you have 30 and you want to make 2 records, then it's like, these are all badass songs. Let's cut all 30 of them, and, you know.
So of the songs that didn't make this record, do you think some will go on the next one? Or are you going to pitch, yeah, some of them? Or,
well, I think we're pitching some of them, but there's like, I think there's like 5 or 6 that didn't make it that I like confidently, I mean, I already talked to my brother and I was like, these have to be on the next record. I fucking still love these songs and am sad they didn't make this record. So I know that means that they should come out at some point, you know?
Yeah.
But there's plenty that we're going to pitch and stuff. And I'm here writing right now, and I'm here every once in a while trying to get it done whenever I can find some time. Yeah. But it's, you know, it's coming together.
I always feel like, this is probably a weird question to ask an artist, but is there like a dream cut for you?
Oh yeah. I mean, there's, oh shit, dude. I mean, it would be super cool, I think, to have like as a kid, man. And still, man, I love Jason Aldean, but as a kid, I had, my mom had this, she just had like a Ford Expedition that it was when the, the CD players with like 6 slots, mm-hmm, you know, like you could, you know, 1 through 6.
Changer.
Put them, dude.
Yeah.
So stoked. I literally had like Aldean's first 5 CDs. He hadn't had a 6th one yet, but I had all 5 of his CDs in there, and I would just switch between them. And it would be super sick to get an Aldean cut, I think. But there's plenty of guys. Like, I mean, Blake Shelton, there's so many dudes that, and girls that I grew up listening to in this town that would be so awesome.
Yeah.
But I mean, a Luke cut, a Morgan cut, like, say, I mean, there's, I was in high school and like early high school, and those dudes came out, and I was just like a massive fan. So any of the, you know, there's so many people in this town that are talented that I would love to get a cut on.
Yeah.
I feel like you can get it right with Aldean like so easily.
He doesn't write that much. He mostly just, right, cuts.
What? Oh, gotcha.
Let's write. Yeah. Yeah. Let's write. Let's make it happen.
Yeah. Yeah. Or at least I know like Kurt and Tully, like his band guys are.
Yeah.
You know, those guys.
I'm so in. Yeah. Love it.
That'd be wild.
Yeah. That'd be super sick, man.
It's cool too, like hearing, you know, because Texas, everyone feels like all the Texas artists all like just Texas country.
Oh, yeah. Dude. Absolutely. And I feel like it's since like streaming came out and all the social media shit, like I feel like it's slowly, like maybe not merging, but it's all kind of meshing a little more, and there's, mm-hmm, less of like a hard line. And like I said, man, like it's definitely a thing. Like I remember growing up and like, you know, some of the Texas artists were like, fuck Nashville and did all this stuff. And I was just like, cool, man. I like this guy a lot. And then it was like, cool, man. I like Aldean a lot. You know, and I grew up listening to everything. I grew up on like old school country and Texas and Red Dirt. And, you know, I mean, I was listening to the radio too growing up. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I grew up on all that shit, man. I like all of it. And I think, you know, there's a big enough space in this musical bubble for everything. I don't know. I hate like hating on anything because, you know, it's a fucking stressful business, and to put yourself out there in general is tough to do, I think. So to make an, you know, a piece of art and put it out there, it's a whole process. And like, I may have things that I don't like as much, but it doesn't mean that I don't respect them or don't really appreciate, like, you know, it doesn't matter if I don't like the music. If you're selling 10,000 tickets, it's fucking awesome.
Dude. Yeah.
Like that's
someone's liking it.
Yeah. You know? Absolutely. And it doesn't mean I don't like watching it either, dude. There's nothing like watching an artist play to a big crowd. It's like, I almost get like emotional half the time watching, because it's so cool, dude. Like if I watch, you know, YouTube videos of these dudes playing stadiums and stuff, it's like, dude, they've reached the pinnacle of like this whole thing that we wanted to do. It's really hard not to appreciate that, I think.
Yeah. You know? I think that's an important thing too. I remember people saying, you like, when I was back in Pittsburgh specifically, they're like, you got a lot of shows. I'm like, well, I'm going to give someone a shot.
Yeah, dude.
Even if like I listen to their music and I'm like, this is okay. If sometimes that live show can change that for
absolutely,
me.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. And yeah. Half the time live, I like going to live shows and not knowing anything about somebody. Like, I mean, this is not country, but a couple years ago, or maybe it was last year, Possum King, or not Possum King, but the Toadies came through, and they played their Possum Kingdom record, top to bottom.
Yeah.
And me and Falcon, he's like, dude, I'm going to watch the Toadies tonight. Do you want to go? And I was like, Toadies? Who's that? He's like, you don't know Toadies are from Texas? And I was like, really? And he's like, they're like this like kind of grunge era band, mm-hmm. whatever. And he showed him showed me Possum King. I was like, oh, I've heard this song. And I was like, yeah, I'll go, dude. And we go that night, and you know, they're playing the whole record through, and I was like, wow, this is fucking sick. And then they get to the song Tyler, and I don't know if you've ever heard the song Tyler, but it's like about so it's just like about a stalker like looking in through a window and like, oh shit, the kitchen window's open, I'm gonna sneak in, getting in, and you know, the girl's like locked herself in her bedroom down the hall, and it's literally like just the whole song's this creepy fucking song about like this serial stalker. And but the vibe of it is immaculate. Like the music, the everything about it is so sick. And I remember listening to it like for the first time I'm blanking on the name. One of the venues downtown, and I was just like, what is this song? And Falco was like, it's a song called Tyler. And I was like, is it like about Tyler, Texas? Because I knew that like their song Possum Kingdom was about Possum Kingdom Lake and like the serial killer or whatever shit out there. And I looked it up as I'm watching it, and I was living in Tyler, Texas at the time, right? Ooh, so like, it's like the big city from where I'm from. It's like 45 minutes from my small town. And so I was living in Tyler. I was like, that's interesting. And I looked it up, and it was about like a serial stalker in Tyler back in the day or something. So he wrote it about that. And I was like, oh my God. It's like, dude, it's one of my favorite songs. It's such a sick song. But there's something about going and, giving a band a chance in person. Because you never know, dude. You never know what they're going to sound like in person. And, you know, some people don't quite get it right in the studio. And then they absolutely slay live, you know. Mm-hmm.
Was there a band like that for you that you went and checked out?
Oh, man. I mean, a ton of them. Just oftentimes festivals, like when I'll stumble upon a band at a festival, honestly, dude, I remember seeing Luke Combs for the first time at CMA Fest, and we were there to see Drake White, and then Luke, you guys played after Drake White, and I was like, who the heck is this? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then Obsession.
Yeah.
You know? I remember like going to a band back in the day, Stroke 9. They had a song Little Black Backpack.
Oh, that sounds familiar.
And it was, you know, cool pop rock music, you know. And I was like, my friends were going, they're like, you want to go to this show? And I was like, sure. And I knew Little Black Backpack, and that's it. And then I saw them live, and I was like, in a club. And it was the first time I saw a club show, and I was like, oh, this is my favorite band, you know. weren't my favorite band. The club show was my favorite thing to do, you know.
Yeah, dude, club shows are tough to beat, man. They're really tough to beat.
It's just intimate, and everybody's vibing out. Like I always say this, it's like, it's a weird spot where I'm at right now, because I'm like kind of in the industry, but I still, the basis of me being in the industry is that I'm a country music fan.
Yeah.
So like, we'll be at a festival that we're helping work, And my buddies are like sitting in front of house watching the show or their side stage. And I'm like, I want to be in the pit.
Yeah,
like,
dude.
I want to be six people deep in the pit and feel that energy. Absolutely, that energy, man, is what feeds me.
Absolutely, dude, I think it's what feeds like artists on the stage too, man. You know, it's so easy to feed off a hot crowd, man.
Yeah.
You know, you go out there, you just fucking, so you see people act wild up on stage when the crowd's acting crazy, you know?
Just,
it's hard not to.
And when I'm like side stage, I'm watching the crowd more than I'm watching the music.
Yeah.
Like I'm watching this girl with her arm over the railing, screaming every word to Treeoke Revival.
Yeah.
Just so sweaty. You can tell she's been there all day.
Yeah.
And she's finally at the moment of the show. Treeoke wasn't even the headliner.
Yeah.
But that's who she was there to see. And you, I'm like watching that and I'm the pure joy on the face of that fan.
Yeah, absolutely, you know? Man.
I'm like recording that now, you know? Like,
that's the best part.
I mean, we went and saw Dan and Shay and Kurt was like, do you want to stay back here with the suits or you want to go up in the pit? I'm like, let's go in the pit.
Yeah.
You know?
That's a fun show, man.
Yeah.
I bet, man.
It's just like,
awesome.
And again, like, that's not, if you were telling me my favorite artist in the world, it's not Dan and Shay, but they're great.
Yeah.
You know, the show was great. The production was elite, you know? And the fans were freaking rabid.
Yeah.
That's part of it, man.
Absolutely. Dude, like I said, dude, it's just like watching the videos, man. Anytime you see an artist playing to a massive crowd that is fucking stoked to be there, it's, oh,
yeah,
it's the best, man.
Do you watch a lot of concert videos?
Oh, like, yeah, dude. I love them, man.
Do you?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I don't ever watch, like, maybe I need to do that more.
YouTube,
I just, like,
bro.
Dude, live videos of, like, I mean, it's mostly, like you know, like, just shit that I really love, and half of it's, like, rock shows in Europe and stuff, but I mean, it's
nostalgia drip.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Like I watched all the Oasis videos, or watched like the Foo Fighters when they played. Was it Wimbledon or
Wembley?
Wembley. Yeah, dude. Yeah. Oh my, Wimbledon. That's the fucking.
Yeah.
When they were all out there doing it.
That's tennis.
But yeah, like that shit. Like watching that's like, oh, dude. You know, it's so cool, man.
I mean, we would go back and listen to like all the Woodstock 99 shows and like,
oh, those are great, dude.
Yeah, like that Metallica show where they played to
there,
like,
dude,
a gajillion people
in Moscow.
Yeah.
Oh, the Monsters of Rock tour.
Yeah, Biscuit live.
Oh, dude,
man, what a blessing.
You're fucking priest.
Our buddy Sam that runs our Rowdy Alternative page, like, he is self-proclaimed the biggest Limp Bizkit fan.
Let's
like,
go.
That's
dude.
What he like. I am the world's largest Limp Bizkit fan.
Let's
like,
go.
But
they rocked at Nissan.
Oh yeah,
dude, they're fucking sick, man. I feel like they've had almost like a resurgence in the past like 5 years. Like I feel like, not in like, I don't mean this in a bad way, but I feel like 5 years ago, like, it was almost like weird to say that you're a fan of them, and now it's like I feel like so many people fucking love them again.
Yeah,
you know?
But it's not just them. It's like that whole era is coming back. Like,
yeah,
even like screamo bands, like Under Oath, is no one gave a fuck about them 5 years ago, and now they're touring and have new music out and like all
That's
kinds
cool,
of
man.
Stuff.
Deftones are back,
dude.
Way back,
so great.
What a blessing.
So
you know?
Great, dude.
No, man, it's, and everything's a circle, right?
Yeah.
And honestly, some of that is like you'll hear influences in the music that is current.
Yeah.
And it kind of circles back to that.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you hear nostalgia. You hear stuff that sounds like a different artist from time to time.
Yeah,
you know? Like,
1,000%, man. You know, and rock has, in the country genre, gotten so prevalent over the past 5 years. And I love it, man. Like, it's like my two things are country and rock. So to be able to, you know, just try and mash them together as well as I can is my favorite, man.
Well, and I think you did a great job of that on
Thank
this
you.
Record. It's
Thank
like...
You.
Kurt was talking, it's like modern production, but like chords that are familiar to the rock side.
Yeah.
And then your classic voice, which is like stayed the same. It
yeah.
sounds, your voice sounds like Texas.
Yeah.
You know?
That's dude. I really appreciate you saying that. I feel like, when I first got this project back, I was up in my office and I was just like, I was playing Fortnite or something on. I was doing something like just fucking around, and I got the file and I was like, oh shit, I gotta go, guys. And they're like, all right. So I hopped off and I, you know, put my headphones on, like I set it all up, and I sit there and I listened through the whole record, and I was like, oh my god, I fucking love this. And I replayed it again, and I replayed it like 3 or 4 times right there in that one like sitting. And I was like, that was the first time I've ever done, like, I've gotten these records back before. And I'll listen through them, and I'm like, hell yeah, that's sick. We did it. But this time I was like, oh my god, I'm like obsessed with this. I feel like at the end of like that little like listening session, I was in my head, like, I feel like it was the most Colby Cooper record that I've ever made. And like, it feels like what I've been trying to make since I started, you know. Like, I remember being in the studio when I first started and being like, yeah, but I want it to be a little more rock. And I just didn't know, like, I didn't know what to say, like how to explain. I was like, it just needs to be a little rockier. Like, something is like, it's a little more country than I pictured. Like, not in a bad way. Like, I fucking love country, and I love, yeah. And I think honestly that my favorite thing about us, like those, the first EP and the first record, leaning a little more country, because there's some songs in those first couple of things that are a little more rock, but they're overwhelmed. Like, the overall is like more country, but it's cool because now I feel like I can do either. Like, I can lean heavy rock if I want, or I can lean heavy country if I want. And I can, like I said, that's my two favorite things, man. So if I can just keep doing that, that's what I want to do. You know, I want to be able to make a country ass song with fiddle and steel guitar, and then make a song that has three electrics fucking overdriven with massive drums and mm-hmm. double kick and stuff, you know. Like, mm-hmm. it's just, I don't know, it's my favorite stuff, man. It adds to the show live, because then you can really dynamically change things. Like, we can go in your face jumping around for two songs, and then we can just bam, make you cry. You know, yeah. Like, it's my favorite thing, man, to get to ride the train, you know.
Yeah,
I think with this record too, one thing is like, the production is like very cohesive, and I feel like the I play guitar, right? So the, like, guitar wise, it's like the leads are very specific to this record, to where it's like they're all similar in the way that it's like, okay, what does a Colby Cooper lead sound like on this record? It's like very hooky,
yeah.
And it's like choruses, it's like we've got cool riffs that are like, instead of like the fiddle echoing the vocal, it's like the eighth note guitar thing in, yeah, spots like that. And so like, the record feels very cohesive, and even like tempo wise, it's like everything's like, there's a, you know, there's a couple slower, yeah, songs, but it's like just a bunch of bangers on the record,
yeah,
too.
Dude, thank you, man. Yeah. I appreciate you saying that. Like I said, man, I'm so proud of this thing. And I just, you know,
I would be too, bro. I'd be super proud. If this is my record, I'd be like, hell yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, dude. That means the world.
Yeah, dude. And you got Danielle in there?
Yeah, dude. She's phenomenal, man. I was so stoked.
How did that come about?
Dude, I've never, like, I've been a part of a few, like, duets, features, whatever, on like, you know, me featuring just with my friends, like Pegasus on the Rooftops or Corey Kent and mm-hmm. Logan Yonke, but I've never done anything on my own, and I've wanted to since my first EP. Like, I've had all these ideas. Like, I wanted Dylan Withers, one of my best friends from Texas, and we've wanted to do a song together since we started, because we started together. It's just, we just always fucked around and never, like, you know, anytime we've written, we've ended up getting drunk, or we've done something where it's like, you know, we just don't we don't finish the song or something. So yeah. And we still got to do something together, but I've wanted to do something since I first started with somebody on my own, you know, project. I just hadn't, and this record was done, and we were looking at it, and you know, my team came to me, and they were like, hey, it'd be cool to throw a feature on this somewhere. And I was like, oh, that would be fucking sick, man. Like, you know, we were looking around, and we got to One Last, and it was just me on it, and listened to it. Like, dude, I think this would be a cool, like, feature to throw a girl on, man. And I was just like, well, dude, me and Danielle Bradbury followed each other like 6 months ago. I was like, she's badass. Like, should we hit her up? And it's like, yeah, let's do it. And I've talked to her since then, and she was like, yeah, I've been such a fan of you for such a long time. I was like, oh, fuck. Badass likewise, man. And she was like, we were in New York doing like a fashion thing, and in the car, and my girl's like, hey, do you want to feature on the song of Colby Cooper? And I was like, yeah. And she's like, well, do you want to hear it? She's like, no, that's cool. Like, fuck yeah, dude.
I'm in. Thanks, no, that man. Sounds great.
She killed it, man. She really did. She is phenomenal. We've got to play it live a few times, and she's the best.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you also have been on the road pretty extensively. Are you getting kind of close to like the end of the run?
Oh, or, yeah, you know, what month is it? September?
September?
Yeah. I think we're done in halfway through December, yeah, or like second week of December or something, and we're off from then to like the end of January.
Yeah,
and then we're back at it, man. We take
Texas
about a
boys
month
never
and a
quit.
Half off, man. Yeah. No, we don't. I need a longer break. I'm fucking worn out.
You're like,
man.
Yeah, we're almost done. Like, we toured to the end of December, and then we have off till the beginning of January.
Dude, we are on the perpetual tour, man. It just kind of happens all year round, years round. You know. We've been doing it since July 20th of 2018. We've been just
Before you're old enough to get into the bars you were playing.
Oh, buddy, I've been thrown out of many bars, not because I was drinking or anything, but because I get off stage and they're like, "Dude, badass show. Thank you so much. You got to get out." And I'm like, What'd I do? And like, "Oh, just, you're young, man. You can't be in here legally." And I'm like, I brought 1,000 people in here. And I just fucking, I know I made you guys a lot of money. You can't let me hang with you. I was like, I'm not going to drink. Like, I'm not like a big drinker anyways. You know? No, you got to get out. So I'd go fucking just chill on the little white church bus that we had at the time. You know?
Yeah.
I've been there when I was 20 and my girlfriend at the time was 22. And then like all our friends, "All right, we're going to the bar." And I was like, okay. It's funny. It seems like such a big deal back then, and now you just kind of laugh at it.
Oh yeah, yeah, dude. Whatever, man. And like I said, for me, I've never been a go out and party kind of. It's probably because I started playing music when I was 18. Well, I'd been playing since I was in high school. Like I've been playing shows all through high school. Like our first paid show. When you say it was paid, but like the first show we made money on, we got tipped for, was this like family party. And it was the summer after eighth grade. We, me and my tour manager, JT, we set up on this trailer at like this little family get together that was like some really good friends of ours. And, we just had like 5 guitar amps set up in front of us. And I plugged my vocals into one of them. And then, then the guitars were plugged into the other 3.
Oh, boy.
But only one of the other 3 was loud enough to like sufficiently like, hear the guitar past like 5 feet, and JT had that one plugged in. So I was sitting there just kind of strumming nothing. And we definitely weren't ready for the first show, but they're like, "Y'all want to come do it? Y'all are awesome." We're like, "Yeah, sure." And we played like probably 10 or 11 songs, and most of them were half songs. It was like we'd get like verse 1, chorus 1, and then give her the big diamond and end it. And they'd be like, "What the fuck are these guys doing up there?"
That's better than what I was doing.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, I think we made like probably 35, 40 bucks. We were stoked, man.
Definitely better than what I was doing.
Yeah, I was a paper boy. Yeah.
Cover gigs or like, was it cover songs?
It was just cover songs. And I think we were writing songs then, but it was like, they're all garbage. And I was like, "We can't show people these, man. I'm too embarrassed, you know?" And I think the first song that we started playing live that was like an original was the first single we ever released. And it was called Every Single Kiss. And we wrote that one whenever I was 15 and JT was 16, and we wrote it with this guy named Ty Stokes. Like I wasn't able to drive. JT came and picked me up from my house and drove us like 45 minutes to this ride in around Gun Barrel in Texas. And I was so intimidated. Like we walked in and they're all smoking weed, and we're like, "Oh my God, I'm going to fucking fail my drug test next week whenever I have to. And I'm not going to be able to play football. My uncle's going to be pissed." And, dude, talk about stressed out as a high schooler. But, you know, I was sitting there, like, we looked up on the way home, like, can you fail a drug test from being around weed? And, you know, like all this stuff. And it's like, "No, you're fine. Don't worry about it." And I was worried about it still. I was like, "Dude, JT, my uncle's going to rip my ass. My mom's not going to understand. Oh, fuck." But we wrote Every Single Kiss that day. And when we got home, we were like, "Dude, this is a badass song." And, like, I feel like this is good enough to show people. And I was nervous. I was like, "Yeah, that's really good." And he was like, "Dude, we got to make a video of it." And I was like, no, we're good, man. We're good. We'll just have the song." And he's like, "No, we're going to make a video." So we got home and we set up in my room. And there's this video on YouTube and on our Facebook page of me, 15, JT, 16, sitting in my room at my mom's house, just playing the song acoustic for the first time the day we wrote it. And, like we agreed, like, this has to be the first thing we put out. The song's so great. And we graduated high school, and like I said, we got, you know, pregnant and did the whole thing. And it was the first song we recorded, and we released it like I think November of 2017 or something, like just randomly. They were like, "Hell yeah, dude." I was working for my grandpa, and it's wild, man. It's every time we play the song live, I always just, it's hard not to like get so nostalgic about it, because I'm like, this song's already 10 years old plus for me. Like, this song's old to me, very old. Like, this is weird, you know.
People still love it.
Oh, I mean, dude, absolutely, man. People still come up and they're like, "That's my favorite song," or like, "Dude, I just heard the song for the first time." I'm like, fuck, man, that's crazy. Awesome. That's awesome. Yeah.
So I have to watch that video.
Yeah, you totally should. JT, our guitar player, looks like a serial killer in it, because he's like just staring in the camera like, Just two nervous kids. They were like, how do we act natural on camera? And his thing was just death stare at the camera, dude. We watch it all the time on the bus, and we laugh so fucking hard about it. We're just JT, look, that. Look. You know, it's good. Good vibes.
He's probably got rid of that death stare now, though. You know?
Oh, yeah. No death stare anymore. He's good now. He figured it out.
So, I know we talked about like some video games and things like that, and of course family, but is there anything else you do with specifically with like the extensive touring you're doing to kind of like level set and ground yourself?
Yeah, dude, I fish religiously. Like I go all the time. We just moved back to Bradford, which is like, it's our original hometown. It's like where I was born and raised, and the population's 35 people. Like it's tiny, tiny, tiny. And, we're out on my grandpa's land, and he's got like three ponds out there that are all like have, you know, bass and I mean crappie and bluegill and catfish, whatever you want to catch. So it's a good time, man. And I, July was miserable. I'm not gonna lie to you. In Texas, I was honestly this summer wasn't bad. Like May through June, like I mean, if I was home 5 days, like if I had a stretch where it was like I only have two shows this weekend, and the shows the weekend before were in Texas, like I'm home on Sunday, then I would literally fish like Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then leave Friday and do the two shows and come back and do the same thing. But in July it got really hot. So like I went down there, one day, I was just home by myself. I was like, fuck dude, I'm gonna go fish all day. And I went down there, and I was down there for about an hour and a half, and I was in the boat by myself. And I was like, man, fuck this. It is too hot. Dude, my ass was burning. I'd been sitting down the whole time, but somehow the seat had still gotten hot enough where my ass was hurting. And I was like, how is this? How? Like, I've been covering this thing up, and it was just cooking so much all around. You know, like, it was, like, the plastics and stuff were starting to kind of melt. And I was like, oh, okay, dude, I need to go inside, man. But it's been like, I've been in Tyler the past 4 years. We moved back in February or so, and we went fishing a couple times in Tyler, but it's like, it's basically, you know, a small city, really. It's 150,000 people, not many good spots to fish, and anywhere that there's good fishing, it's like you go out there and there's 40 people already fishing. It's like, man, I'm gonna have to swim out in the middle to catch something, you know, like whatever. So we went fishing a couple times, and we got back in February, and I was playing a bunch, and like randomly got back in April, and I was like, man, I haven't gone fishing in it. Like as a kid, I went fishing every day. Like I would go to work with my dad, and after we got off work, I would make him. I'd be like, dude, if I'm gonna go work with you, after we're gonna go fishing. And we'd get off whatever he was doing, and we'd go fishing for like an hour, hour and a half. And I'm such a massive fan. I love it. I can sit out there for hours and not get a bite and just be happy. Like, and it's, you know, it's like the exact opposite of what I normally do. Like it's just like there's no like stress. It's literally just throw it in the water, reel it in. Have a good time. Like, don't worry about shit. It's fishing's definitely been a lifesaver this past few months.
I love that.
Yeah. And we've been doing it on the road. If we can, like, you know, we got a few travel poles, and if there's any, like a river or a little pond or a lake or something nearby, we'll just fuck it, man. Go toss it in. See if we catch anything, you know?
Yeah. That's what, we played a show. I forget where it was, but there was like a, almost like a moat around it.
Oh.
And, Colby, he's a fly fisherman, was just out there. Just, I don't know how to do that.
Dude, it looks so sick, man. Yeah. It looks so sick. Isn't he a guide, or was he a guide?
Mm-hmm.
Dude,
that's
I want to hit him up and be like, bro, let's go.
You probably know him, but I can introduce you guys.
I know him just like through social media, and we have similar names.
He's actually doing a like fishing YouTube series right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, where he's sort of like doing like cinematic fishing and about conservation stuff. So maybe he's probably looking for, maybe you can pop on and like rip some lips or whatever y'all do.
The Colbys, dude, that'd be sick. I want to learn to fly fish too. Have y'all ever gone fly fishing?
I've never.
It looks sick. I mean, it's an art, bro. Like watching them.
Yeah. And the tying and the.
Insane. Have you seen how small those hooks are?
Dude,
we were at Bass Pro the other day. Straight up, dude. We were looking, and I was, you know, a bass fish. I catch, you know, whatever. I've had big hooks. I've sometimes used fucking ridiculous glide baits. Mm-hmm. Like, I like to be stupid. So, you know, for my birthday, I got this, like, 6-inch glide bait. Like, it's way too big to use in these East Texas ponds. I got it for my birthday like 2 weeks later. I was like, man, I haven't even opened it. I might as well tie it on one time and see how it does. I tied it on and I tossed it all in. I mean, it's a little pond and this big ass lure literally almost like cleared the other side of the pond. And it hits the water and I reeled another time and bam, this like 4 pound bass hit it. I was like, damn, dude. And
it works.
My oldest daughter loves fishing. She's been hooked. Like she started fishing again, or I guess again. Like we've been going a bunch this summer. She fucking loves it. Like, and she can outfish me most of the time. She's good. But I was sitting there, like, God, got it. And I was reeling it in. She's like, what is that? Is that a catfish? I was like, no, I don't think so. It's a big ass fish. And you know, big ass for us. We were stoked, man. We've been catching like 1-2 pound fish. And we got up there and like I was shaking. I was like, holy shit, Josie, look at this fish. She's like, dang, dad. And she, you know, like, she was like, can I hold it? I was like, yeah. And she's sitting there like, she's sitting there like trying to hold it with two hands. I'm like, all right, here, let me help you. You know, she loves the shit, man.
Oh, it's so
it's the
great.
Best. It really is, man. It so really is.
Bonding and family time too. That's the best.
Yeah, it is, dude. It is great. It is, you know, but dude, if I take her out there, like it's not even peaceful fishing because I'm sitting there and like she's so damn good that she'll fucking cast it, get one, and like I'm tying my shit. I'm like, oh, here, let me help you get it off. I get it off, hand it to her, take a picture, go back to tying, and then she's like, shh. Shit, dad. Well, she didn't say, but she's like, dad, I gotta know. I'm like, oh, all right, damn. And I'm just kind of like her personal fish getter at this point. Like, I sit out there and just kind of
so you're a guide now, too.
Yeah. I guide my kids around, like, yeah, throw it right there, you know. And she's great, man. She's great.
The best.
My second one, she claims she likes fishing, but we'll go out there and I had both of them, like a little worm and a bobber. And I was like, all right, cast them out there. Josie had hers out there. I threw Charlie's out there, and we just got down there, and right as it hit the water, a little bluegill hit it. Bam. She caught it. I was like, oh, my gosh, reel it in. She reeled it in. I pulled it up. I was like, look, you caught a fish. She was like, yeah. And she kind of touched it, and she said, I was like, you want to hold it, take a picture? She's like, mm. I was like, all right. So she threw it back in, and then she was like, when are we going back home? And I went, what? What do you mean? You just caught a fish. She's like, yeah.
We're done.
Was that not? Were we not coming to catch a fish? You know, like, oh, no.
That's horrible.
Dude, it's so funny, so man. It's so cute. It's so funny, man. She's a, they're a trip, dude. Kids are wild.
Yeah. Me and Kurt don't have any, so we can live through vicariously through
Yeah, there stories. You go, dude. They're a trip, man. They can be demons sometimes, but they're sweethearts.
Totally. I've been there myself, probably.
Me too. I've had my demon days, so.
Oh, yeah. Everybody does. That's how it works.
Payback, you know?
Yeah. Karma. Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I've been an uncle since I was 3.
Oh, let's go, dude. Hell so yeah.
It's like grew
unk
up.
Status.
Yeah,
forever. You're legendary unk status, bro. Yeah. Holy
like
shit.
Like, I'm the drunkle, the funkle, you know? Like, the
dude, that's
a little bit of everything. You know?
It's kind of tough to beat that, man.
I'm an uncle, too. My niece was hanging out with us this weekend, and I was having a couple beers, and I was with my buddy Eric, and we were kind of shooting the shit. And she's like, I just heard my uncle say some of the stuff I never would have heard my uncle say. It wasn't anything too crazy. And I was like, what? Like, she's 27. You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah.
Okay.
And then I'm like, but then it's like, you view like your elder family members differently. And I haven't thought through that lens ever really.
Dude, absolutely. It's it is wild once you like break that barrier of being a kid to like a grown up. And it's like, oh my God, you talk about these things that I never knew you talked about. What the fuck? You know?
Well, that's even like I talked to my mom, and she's 82 now.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, Mom, you've never, like, told me the stories.
Yeah.
And I was like, will you tell me the stories? If I come home, will you tell me the stories? She's like, I don't know. She's like, I don't know if I want to tell you the stories.
Yeah. I don't know if you can handle the stories. I know.
I'm as close to my parents as I've ever been, if not closer now. But it's your relationship with them changes. You know, it's like you want a beer. But it's like when you first start out, you're just a little baby. You know, so it's like, interesting how it's like you've gone from like the relationship is sort of the gap between you as you get older seems to get smaller. And so you're like on more, you talk more about work and, you know, finances and less about homework and soccer practice or whatever it is.
No,
you know?
Absolutely, man. It is a wild thing to grow up and officially become an adult, dude. It's training wheels are off.
Yeah. Your daughter's 7 and she'll be, next time you come on the pod, hopefully it's sooner than that, but she might be 16, you know, or whatever.
Oh, my God, man. Fuck, man.
It's driving around.
It's all, like, me and my wife talked about it, and we're like, oh, my God, she just turned 7. In 3 years, she's going to be 10, dude. Like,
crazy.
What the fuck, man? Like, how? I'm not ready for that, dude. That's my baby. You
we
know?
Got 3 years for that to happen, so you're good.
I know, dude. I know, man. But I know, like, right, like, boys are around the corner, whatever. Like, the whole thing is just. I'm gonna need to fish like a motherfucker.
Yeah, I was gonna say you just gotta get your gun collection out.
Straight up, man.
Rodney Atkins.
Hang on the walls, man. Yeah. Cleaning this gun. Come on, baby. It's me straight up. Dude. I'm gonna have 8 of them out there. What's up, buddy?
Yeah, bring all the unks over.
Yeah, dude. Like, all of us out there just cleaning.
Whatever. She'll be so badass. She'll take care of herself for sure.
That's exactly.
She'll be cleaning her own gun.
Yeah, that's
right. And her own fish.
Goddamn 44 on them.
Yeah. Come on, man. That's hey, it is Texas, you know.
Yeah, that's right, man. That's right.
Well, I know you talked about like always working on new music. So are you guys like trying to plan out? You got some songs that you think are ready for the next project too?
We do, man. I have I was telling them we got like probably 6 or so, I think. And there's you know, I love all of them, but there's a couple I'm really really excited about. So I just, you know, like you know how it is. It's just like, all right, this one's out now. The step one for next project is, you know, happening.
Yeah.
But you know, I'm up here writing and doing the whole thing, and I'll be up here a bunch writing over the next few months and just trying to make it all happen.
Yeah,
you know?
Bro, that's what it's about, man.
Oh, absolutely, man.
Find
absolutely.
Your clique of people that you work extremely well with and push forward with them, man.
For sure, dude. For sure. It's hard to get in the room with a bunch of friends and not have a good time and make something that you like, you know.
Mm-hmm. Love it, man.
Yeah.
Well, it's so cool, like, just getting to see you from where we met and had you on the pod first.
Yeah.
Just the growth that you've seen not only as in your artistry, but as a person, too.
Yeah, man. Know? It's you know, I think that's the goal every day is to, you know, wake up and try and get a little bit better. It's easier said than done, I think, but that's the goal. You know, wake up and be a sweet person. Don't be an asshole.
You're crushing it, bro.
Thanks, man. Thanks, man. By the way, you're kind of a dick, though. I appreciate it, dude. That's, you know, like I said, man, I just want to, I don't know. I want to set a good example for my babies, and I want to, you know, the whole thing, dude. I just want to raise good people, so I try to be a good one.
You definitely are, bro, for sure.
Thank you, man.
100%, man.
Likewise.
In an industry that it's easy to not be, you are. So thank you.
Yeah,
that.
Man.
Well said.
Yeah, dude, absolutely. It's definitely a trip, man. It's, you know, one of the least faithful industries in the world, man. But it's you know, I love my wife. I love my family. I got lucky that I got a good one, you know, so it's easy.
That's it, man.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, thanks for hopping back on the pod with us, man. Let's definitely not make it as long next time.
Yeah, dude, I'm going to be devastated if it's 16. I'm going to feel like y'all hate me.
No, you know? We got to get before 10 now.
That's before 10 is the goal. Before 10 is the goal.
No, man, I mean, definitely next time you have another project. And we were both out of town for your guys' show town. We got to make it out to another show.
Yeah,
soon.
Dude. Y'all are welcome whenever, man. It's party.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, guys, I'm Nikki T.
Kurt Ozon. And we'll see you in the front row. Thanks, bro.
Thank you for having me.